Are you raising your children to be honest? Listen to Adrian Rogers.
Do your children know that you tell the truth? Do you ever teach children to lie for you? Do you ever teach children to pick up the phone and say, Mama's not here? Mama says she's not here. If we teach them to lie for us, we should never punish them when they lie to us.
Welcome to Love Worth Finding as we present a message from God's Word that we all need to hear. We have so much to be thankful for, don't we? And we are thankful that you're with us today. And as you reflect on God's goodness, His mercy, His love, His provision, we have to admit, if we're honest, we have problems. And part of that problem is the decline of basic honesty. Not just out there in the big bad world, but in here, in my own heart. We make choices every day between truth or consequences. And as we do, we need to consider three things about our witness. Now, in the first half of this lesson, pastor, teacher, and author Adrian Rogers reminded us of the liability of a false witness. When we slander, falsely criticize, remain silent when we ought to speak up, or insinuate things that aren't true, we break God's holy commandment. What about the reliability of a faithful witness or the responsibility of a family witness? If you have your Bible, turn to Exodus chapter 20 and look at verse 16 as Adrian Rogers concludes, truth or consequences.
The Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness. I want you to listen today as we think today about truth or consequences. The first thing I want you to notice is what I'm going to call the liability of a false witness. The liability of a false witness. Thou shalt not bear false witness. Have you ever thought about who the father of all false witness is? He's Satan himself. John chapter 8 and verse 44, Jesus speaking to the unsaved Pharisees said, ye are of your father the devil, and the lust, that is the desire of your father, ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning and abode not in the truth because there is no truth in him. Anytime you slander someone, you are acting like Satan. Now, he is the father of it, and being the father of it, he has a family. And who are these children of Satan? You know, children are like the father. If you're guilty of perjury, if you ever appear in a court and you perjure yourself, you break this commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness. The rumor monger breaks this commandment. You can break this commandment by mere insinuation. We can lie, I say, with the tone of our voice. The Bible says in James chapter 4, verse 11, speak not evil one of another, brethren. Speak not evil one of another, brethren. It doesn't say whether it's true or whether it's not true. We are not to slander. We're not to speak with an evil spirit. The Bible calls this in Jeremiah 18, verse 18, smiting with the tongue. Many people are smitten with the tongue. Do you know what A.B. Simpson said, the great Christian and Missionary Alliance pastor? Listen to this. Quote, I had rather play with forked lightning or take in my hands living wires with their fiery currents than to speak a reckless word against any servant of Christ, or idly repeat the slanderous darts which thousands of Christians are hurling on others. When you listen to slander, you're as guilty as the person who gives it. It's a small compliment to you that people want to use your ears for garbage cans. You can even break the spirit of this commandment that says, thou shalt not bear false witness, by simply being silent. Because the negative always implies the positive. And when the Bible says, thou shalt not bear false witness, it implies you will bear true witness. And if you're quiet and don't speak when you ought to speak, you've sinned. Leviticus chapter 5, verse 1. And if a soul sin, and he hath seen or known it, if he do not utter it, then he shall bear his iniquity. That is, if you simply say, it's none of my business, and you keep silent when a criminal deed is done, or when you fail to speak up when a good man is criticized, you break the spirit of this command. A few things you could do more foolish and more hurtful than to bear false witness. It is so hurtful to people, and it is so hellish before God. Listen to what God says in Proverbs 6, verses 16 and following. These six things doth the Lord hate. Yea, seven are an abomination unto Him, a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that deviseth wicked imaginations, and feet that be swift to running to mischief, a false witness that speaketh lies, and he that soweth discord among brethren. Of the six things that God hates, yea, seven, two of them deal with breaking this command, which says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Now, you may think it's a small thing to lie, but if you have a practice of lying, I want to tell you plainly and clearly that you are of your father the devil, and you will spend all eternity with him in hell. For the Bible says hell was prepared for the devil and his angels, and the very word angel means his messenger, his witnesses. You have become a witness for Satan, and you will spend eternity with your father, the devil, in hell. Hell was not prepared for you, for me. It was prepared for the devil and his angels. And when you become a false witness, you become one of Satan's angels, one of Satan's messengers. And the Bible says in Revelation chapter 21 and verse 8, all liars shall have their part in the lake which burneth with fire and brimstone. That's the Word of God. I can't change it. I cannot amend it. From the lightnings and thunders of Sinai, God says, thou shalt not bear false witness. Again, I want to tell you, you're never more like Satan than when you bear false witness. When you perjure, when you slander, when you falsely criticize, when you remain silent when you ought to speak, when you insinuate things that are not true, all of these things break God's holy commandment and will receive the judgment of Almighty God. Now, there's a second thing I want you to see. I've talked to you about the liability of a false witness. I want you to see with me also now the reliability of a faithful witness. Because, you see, when God says, thou shalt not bear false witness, by implication, God is saying, you shall bear faithful witness. Jesus Christ is called the faithful and the true witness of God. And we're to be witnesses to Him. Acts chapter 1 and verse 8, the Bible says, but ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost is come upon you, and ye shall be witnesses unto me. My home and your home ought to be a witness to the saving power of the Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. In the Bible, when the Bible says that they took the gospel from house to house, that does not mean that someone went down the street knocking on doors and telling people about Jesus, this house, and then this house, and then this house. Now, that's well and good. And that's a good way to do evangelism. But that's not what the Bible means when it says the faith went from house to house. It means it goes from the Jones house to the Smith's house, and from the Smith's house to the Brown's house, and so forth. And one family becomes a witness to another family. And our families are to bear witness of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Now, we are not to bear false witness against our neighbor. We are to bear faithful witness to our neighbor. Our neighbors ought to know the Jesus that we know. Are you bearing a faithful witness to your neighbor? Do your neighbors know that you're Christians? You say, well, Pastor Rogers, I haven't been to seminary. I'm not trained. Well, let me ask you a question. Has Jesus Christ saved you? Has He changed your home? Is He real to you? Now, remember, you are called to be a witness, a faithful witness. Well, what does a witness do? A witness tells what he has seen and heard. As they used to say on Dragnet, just the facts, ma'am. That's all. A witness tells what he has seen and heard. Now, Jesus did not call you to be his lawyer. A lawyer argues a case. A witness simply shares what he's seen and heard. And so, you just tell people what Jesus Christ has done for you and how you know he has done it. Don't witness about things you don't know. But witness about things you do know. If you fail, that's a part of your witness. Tell how you failed and how God forgave you and gave you another chance. Your neighbor is waiting to hear, our neighbors are waiting to hear about the saving gospel of Jesus Christ. There's the liability of a false witness. There is the reliability of a faithful witness. Now let me talk to you about the responsibility of a family witness. The responsibility of a family witness. We are calling this series of messages a perfect 10 for homes that win. There is a crying need in America today for families that know the truth, believe the truth, love the truth, teach the truth, speak the truth, and share the truth. A home that is not built on truth will crumble. Now, how do we take these things that I've talked about today, and how do we transfer them to our children, and that our children might go out into the school and into the workplace and into the government and re-permeate society with truth? Well, three basic ways. Number one, by precept. You need to get this tape, or you need to get a study like this, and you need to get all of the scriptures that I've given you today, and you need to teach them to your children. Literally teach them. Take the Word of God and show them that when they tell a lie, they're acting like the devil. And don't just simply say you ought not to tell a lie. That's bad. That's naughty. Give them a theological reason. Tell them why they ought to tell the truth. Talk of these scriptures. When you rise up, when you lie down, make certain that your children understand the Holy Commandments. So number one, you transfer by precept, by teaching. Number two, by example. And I cannot, oh God help me, I cannot say it well enough, strongly enough, how important it is, mister, that you as a father tell the truth. Listen, you need to be able to say to your children, God says, thou shalt not bear false witness. And my child, I want to tell you this, I will never lie to you. I will always keep my word to you. Come up close and I'm going to tell you something. You can fail in many, many, many ways and still come out fairly good with your children. But if you fail here, if you fail to keep your word, to keep your promises, if you fail to tell the truth to your children, I promise you that your home is on the road to disaster. I cannot emphasize enough how important it is to have fathers that will tell the truth. If you've ever made a promise to your child and failed to keep that promise, ask that child for forgiveness. One day I got all of my children together. I said, I want to ask you a question. Have I ever promised you anything that I didn't do? I was sure they'd say, oh, no, Dad. You've always kept your word. But one of them said, yeah, there was a time when I just made little remarks that were taken as promises, and one of these days we'll do that, or one of these days we'll do that. I said, forgive me. I'm sorry. And ask for forgiveness when you've done wrong. And confess that you've done wrong. Let your children know that you are a truth speaker. Now, dads, I'm going to plow real close to the corn right now. Do you have one of these little gizmos up on your dashboard called a fuzz buster? Well, I want to ask you a question. Why do you have it there? Why does your child think you have it there? Now, if you have one, I'm not saying throw it in the garbage can. But I'm saying that you ought to say to your child, I have this here in case absent-mindedly somehow I am breaking the law. But my intent is not to get around the law. My intent is to keep the law. Amen or oh me. I'm telling you, folks, we'd better be careful what we're teaching our children. This thing of integrity is so very, very important. What do you do when Throckmorton just turned 12 and you go to the show, whatever it is, and it says for children under 12, thus and such an entry fee? And Throckmorton is 12 and 3 days old. You say, well, just tell him you're 12, son. You'll rue the day you do that. I remember we took our family down to Pirates World down in Fort Lauderdale. I mean, all the little kids like this. And folks, to take them one of those places, you just have to, you know, you have to go in somewhere and hawk your right eyeball to get enough money to do it. You know, it's, I don't even know where the Pirate World is still there, but they named it well. And we're going into this thing. I looked at my billfold and I had just so much money. And we were just 75 cents short of having enough money. And we got up there and I counted the money with the taxes and everything. I didn't have enough. And little children there, man, heartbroken. I said, well, will you take a check? No, we can't take a check. And then I looked and it said under 12, less. My oldest was 12 by several days. They said, well, Daddy, I just turned 12. If we just say I'm under 12, we can get in. And we had a moral crisis on our hands. Were we going to ruin the whole day? I said, I'm sorry, son. We just can't do that. We just can't do that. And I won't tell you the rest of the story. We did ultimately get in because kids won't let it go. But we got in with the rules and never broke the rules. Do your children know that you tell the truth? Do you ever teach children to lie for you? Do you ever teach children to pick up the phone and say, Mama's not here? Mama says she's not here. If we teach them to lie for us, we should never punish them when they lie to us. I actually heard about a mother one time who told her son, Johnny, if you don't stop lying, there's a man, a green man that lives on the moon. He's going to catch you and make you pick up sticks the rest of your life if you don't stop lying. What do you do with children? Number one, by precept, teach them the Word of God. Number two, by example, live the Word of God. Moms and dads, tell the truth and keep your word. Number three, by discipline. There are three deadly D's that our kids knew about when they were coming up. Now, wait, I'm not talking about such things as stealing or using dope or anything. I'm talking about when they're little kids now. The three deadly D's that I would not put up with. I'm talking about when they were little. The first was deliberate disobedience. Now, a child could disobey, and if it's not arrogant, not deliberate, then you have to deal gently with them. But when it is deliberate disobedience, friend, you must deal with that immediately. The second thing is defiance. That's the same as disobedience, but it is just simply a disrespectful attitude, a defiant disrespect. Deal with that immediately. And the third is dishonesty. Our children knew that they could get away with some things, but if they were ever disrespectful to their mother, ever disrespectful to their dad, ever defiantly disobedient, or ever were dishonest, at that moment, the judgment was sure and swift. Kind, yes, but stern, yes. If you want your home to win, you better go back to what God has said. You better take these commandments one at a time, beginning with the commandment that says, I am the Lord thy God. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. And take them one at a time, measure your life by them, and teach them to your children. Let me ask you this question. Do you know Jesus Christ is your personal Savior? Do you? Jesus is the faithful and the true witness. He is the truth. He said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you want to be saved today, you can be saved. To be saved means that every sin is forgiven. To be saved means that every dishonest thing we've ever done is buried in the grave of God's forgetfulness, never to be brought up against us anymore. To be saved means that the one who is the truth lives in us and helps us to live the truth. To be saved means that we have the joy of God, the peace that passes understanding. To be saved means that we have a home in heaven. To be saved means that we have millions of people around the world who are now our brothers and sisters in Christ. If you'd like to be saved, I'd like for you to pray a prayer like this. Dear God, I know that you love me, and I know that you want to save me. Jesus, you died to save me, and you promised to save me if I would trust you. I do trust you, Jesus. I believe you're the Son of God. I believe that you paid my sin debt with your blood on the cross. I believe God raised you from the dead. And now I receive you by faith to come into my life, to be my Lord and Master, to forgive my sin and to give me power to live for you. Take control of my life. Save me, Lord Jesus. Pray that and mean it. Save me, Lord Jesus. Ask Him to save you. Trust Him to save you. Save me, Lord Jesus. Did you ask Him? Then pray this way. Thank you for doing it, Lord. I don't look for a sign. I don't ask for a feeling. I stand on your word. You're now my Lord, my Savior, and my God. And then say this to Him. Lord Jesus, because you died for me, I'll live for you. And help me never to be ashamed of you, because you're my God and my Savior. In your name I pray. Amen.
If you prayed to receive Jesus just now, we want to celebrate with you and invite you to our Discover Jesus page on our website. You'll find answers there that you may need about your newfound faith. There's a response section where you can share your testimony with us or how this message has impacted you. Simply go to lwf.org/radio and click the tab that says Discover Jesus. Again, lwf.org/radio. Welcome to God's forever family. We can't wait to hear from you. Now, if you'd like to order a copy of today's message, you can call us at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. Mention the title Truth or Consequences when you get in touch. This message is also part of a powerful series, A Perfect 10 for Homes That Win. For that complete collection, all 10 insightful messages, call the number 877-LOVE-GOD or go to lwf.org/radio to order. Or you can write us at Love Worth Finding, Box 38600, Memphis, Tennessee, 38183. Adrian Rogers said there's a crying need in America today for families that know, believe, love, teach, speak, and share the truth. A home that is not built on truth will crumble. So be the witness God wants to a watching world. And join us next time for more profound truth, simply stated, right here on Love Worth Finding. You have to hear what a listener wrote to us recently. He said, Dr. Rogers' messages were the start of me getting into a deeper relationship with God. I do my best to be online Sunday morning to listen to him with other Christians. I regret that I never had the chance to meet Dr. Rogers here, but I'm looking forward to personally thanking him when I get to heaven. You resonate with that? We love hearing your testimony, and we strive to provide you resources to share your story with others. And this month, for a gift of any amount, we'd love to send you our 2020 Christmas cards featuring an original painting by artist Lacey Hancock. This bundle includes 10 cards and envelopes ready for you to share some comfort and joy with your friends or family members. Request a pack of the 2020 Christmas cards when you call with a gift today at 1-877-LOVE-GOD. And again, thanks for your generous support of Love Worth Finding.